This week on RSBNB Update, it's a quiet week by all regards, but we run through the patch notes and the content showcase for War's Retreat, otherwise known as the PVM Hub, plus our thoughts on expanding the Max Guild and the frequency of updates in RuneScape. This is RSBNB Update, episode 760, recorded Thursday, January 16th, 2020. Color me surprised. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update, the second in the 2020 volume. Katniss and myself are here this week, as we are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And patch week this week, but, you know, as with most patch weeks, we do have a few other little things to discuss here and there, so you guys will have more to look forward to than a dramatic reading of the patch notes, which, I mean, we could totally do one day.
You should do a dramatic reading of the patch notes, now that you said that. Yeah.
Anyways, I am Shane12088, of course, in-game, and he is Tannis79, and we're going to talk about the patch notes this week and some major milestones put forward by Jagex last year in 2019, amongst other things, and then cap it all off with some tech news that you guys will hopefully find interesting and useful. But if you guys want to follow along with full show notes, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. And, you know, I do sound a bit better this week, don't I?
A little bit.
Yeah. I honestly have no idea how we made it through last week's show.
Determination, Shane. You were determined.
Alrighty, well, starting off in the patch notes, we're going to start off in the RuneFest 2019 category, and winners of the 2019 Golden Gnome Awards have been awarded their Golden Gnome pets and Golden Gnome hats to their accounts. Congratulations on your win. That's a little while after, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a whole process around and design that went into these, but I don't know. It might have been a nice thing to unveil at RuneFest. So when you got home, you could log in. But
yeah, I would have thought that could have all been done ahead of time. It ain't like you had to wait to see who the winners were before.
Oh, maybe they're customized in that way then. I mean, I don't know what they are, but.
I would be highly surprised.
The Golden Gnome Award is the premier award, as they've said, right? So it would make sense, and it would be a fun little treat if they were to be customized in such a way. Let's just see if there's anything on that. Nothing off the cuff on that. Anyways, we're just going to move on to our next category, which is still seeing changes to the farming and herb lore update, which greeted us at the tail end of November, believe it or not. And these things have all been patched in and around the world. So starting off, the white lily now instantly grows when using the Supreme Growth Leafy Potion on it. There's also no longer a confirmation message when traveling from Manor Farm using the Mystical Tree, and of course that takes you to the Anachronia Dinosaur Farm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering why there had to be a notification on that, and a confirmation, rather. But I'm glad that's been fixed, because that's a trip I make regularly. Multiple times a day. Still, believe it or not, I'm still interacting with that, even though I'm closing in on 165 million farming XP.
Nice.
You're also now awarded token XP for climbing over the stiles at the ranch out of time, and what that means is that token XP is a small amount, like 3 or 4, when you do that. And, I mean, nice little agility touch, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And finally, Pickles. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was thinking that's like what we get for cleaning herbs and
Yeah, okay. Small amounts like that, small amounts. And Pickle the Cat has returned to Manor Farm.
Oh, Pickle's back.
Yeah, and you know, there's a fun little story about this. The cat disappeared when 120 came out, and there was parts of the internet who are saying, oh, this must be something that Jagex did because Monshani's no longer with them. And the reason why this is something that came up is because Pickle is actually the name of his cat in real life.
Yeah, that'd be cold blood. We're going to take your cat out of the game.
But never fear, Pickle is back. So. Next up on the achievements side, some improvements to various achievements, including the Arc Flippers achievement, which can no longer be triggered over and over. The Lumbridge achievement, medium Lumbridge achievement, Everybody Loves Coal now has the correct level requirement on the achievement. And
Shane loves coal.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good for heating your homes on these cold minus 30-odd degree winter evenings. Yeah. But in any case, this next one is one that will make everybody scratch their heads. The Friends with Max achievement can no longer trigger without 99 Constitution. And the Friends with Max achievement is the achievement that you get when you max.
You can get that without being maxed?
Without having 99 Constitution prior to this, you could, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. And, you know, chances are this happened in what's called a regression a number of weeks ago, and it hasn't always been this way. So what we're talking about here aren't bugs that have been in-game since the inception. They likely appeared at some point a while back in the game's history, otherwise known as regressions.
Huh.
Bossing-wise for Next Angel of Death, a second Golden of the Praesil title can be earned by completing the Next Angel of Death drop log, including the four intricate chests. A Golden of the Praesil title. And, you know, Next Angel of Death still today is no cakewalk. So, that's something that we're going to be on the eye out for and just be looking out for to see if anybody has that golden title. Because, you know, I think golden titles are pretty rare in this game when it comes down to it. Next one, track colors and intersection graphics were updated on Celtic Knots to improve colorblind accessibility. I sent you some screenshots of these.
Yeah. It was better color for colorblindness.
Right.
Yeah. I am still absolute crap at Knots, but I mean, this was good. Like, this was a huge improvement. Like, huge.
Yeah, do you think it would allow you to do clue scrolls?
It brings you that. I mean, it brings me one step closer.
Okay.
For sure. I don't really understand, like, Celtic Knots real well.
In general, the way it works in game, if you don't want to brute force it, you just want to effectively try and match all of the matching runes on two of the knot series that overlap first. And, you know, you can do this by brute force. The brute force way is you effectively move one ring. Then if you don't get any matches, you move your second ring one. Then you move the first ring again, a full cycle. Then, once again, if no matches, move the second ring one, and so on and so forth, until all of the runes that are matched on those two rings light up. Then it's just a matter of moving the third ring until the rest of them light up. That's the recommended brute force way of doing it. If you want to do it in a bit more of a thoughtful way, you can look at the way the knots are laid out and effectively match up all the different matching runes on the various knot paths. So, for instance, on this one, the gold and the blue path, if you were to match up, say, all the nature runes and then all the cosmic runes, and if there was no match following that, or rather on the runes that didn't have any duplicates on both tracks, you would then just ignore those, and through process of elimination, you would get to a point where all of the intersections on those ones match up. It's really not that bad once you get down to it. And, you know, my hope with this is that this update broke the Alt 1 toolkit, at least temporarily. And maybe for a little while longer, because I know some of the layouts of the knots changed on here for some of them. And, you know, I'm 100% sure well, maybe not 100%, let's just say 95% sure at this time that Alt-1 is not infecting people, because we would have heard something about that by now. But my main concern with the Alt-1 toolkit is that it devalues the puzzle skip tokens that you get when you complete a clue scroll, which when they came out were designed to help people who didn't want to necessarily go through the rigmarole of doing a knot, right? So it's for that reason that I come down hard on Alt-1. And, you know, I think that having something in-game be devalued by a piece of third-party software is no good. So that's my stance on Alt-1, and I figured that'd be a good time to insert this one on here, on this patch note. So
I'm just happy that there's an eye on accessibility like that. Yeah. This is the first time that I can remember, this is the first time ever I can remember a patch note that was specifically dealing with accessibility, like specifically.
Yeah. And for comparison's sake, the old colors were red, blue, and silver. Now they are gold, yeah, black, and blue.
Yeah, that's a lot better. For some reason, red's just not good. Like, not all. I noticed it when I was playing, The Witcher the other day, and they had a colorblind setting. When you go into like this one kind of mode, there's a lot of reds and browns and stuff that comes out. You're supposed to be able to see. It was like, dude, I can't see any of this. So there was a different colorblindness setting on there. Totally was the same colors that you just described.
Okay.
Seen it way easier. So
yeah,
it's a much better scheme.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is why people still do hards, is because there's no knots and no scans. Granted, yeah, you can do the knots, but they take more time than a puzzle box, and the scans is just purely running around. So I think that's why people who do clues in, you know, a huge fashion just prefer the hards, and second to that, the masters, because they don't need to have those scan clues to run around with. So, all right, some graphical changes. The mannequins outside the GE have been updated to show a more snowy version of the Slayer armor. Fire model graphics have been updated by Isluin and Elunid in the Terran and Forest. For anybody who searches for these elves out there, this is, of course, where you recharged your crystals if you don't have access to Brith. So the fire models have been updated to the modern standard on those. Teleport animation overrides that have a quick version will now play in place of the many more standard teleport animations while activated. And, you know, things like this, I would assume, are things like the Amulet of Glory, for example, that always used the old... that one didn't use the standard option. I'm thinking of things like the Ectophiel, that kind of thing. These ones would use the teleport animation quick override. And, you know, fun fact on this is actually the teleport animation I use. I use the retro teleport animation that goes back to 2006 where your character shrinks. So I enjoy seeing that one more with this.
Oh.
Now here's a big one. The makeover mage took a day trip to the Anachronia farm and decided to give General Bentnose a makeover. Bentnose no longer uses his old school model and has been replaced with a more up-to-date model. You know what this is about, right? This is Bentnose is one of the dinosaur sellers. Or buyers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And they had an old school.
Yeah,
model
like the one prior to God Wars 2, I'd imagine. So.
All right.
He buys the brutish dinosaurs. Interface changes when hovering over the hooded quest point cape. It now says hooded quest point cape. Anti-poison, super anti-poison, energy, and super energy flask can now be consumed from the inventory while in the bank interface. That's interesting.
Yeah, uh-huh. Why?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're banking after a combat encounter and you're poisoned and you just want to use your anti-poison, makes sense to just allow you to use it from the bank interface without needing to close that entire window, right?
Well, yeah, but
you
that's
still need
like,
to withdraw it to your inventory.
Yeah, but that's like 8 years, 9 years too late.
Well, how do people normally clear poison?
You don't don't get poisoned anymore.
What?
Poison's not a thing.
I got poisoned many times when I was doing the clue scrolls for the testing this week. From the mages.
I know, but did you even take any damage?
Not really.
Yeah,
I think I went down to maybe about 7,500 life points from 9,900 with no armor.
And it was done.
Yeah, then we were done after that. Yeah.
Right. It just doesn't seem like it. I mean, I can remember back in the day getting to a bank and dropping dead on the floor without being able to click on it faster. You're like, no, not my pin. Shit. But it's been a long time ago.
This is not 2006's RuneScape, that's for sure. An information pop-up now appears when attempting to get the results of a player on port story voyage via the captain's log to point players back to their port to claim it. All right. The bank and the elf camp will now show on the mini-map after the completion of Deadliest Catch. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. There's a bank there and there's no bank icon. I can remember that. Bounty Hunter weapons now display in the skill guides as before. They were not there. You will find these weapons in the respective skill guides at level 87. And of course, you unlock these now by doing Wilderness Slayer.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the bank interface again, you can now eat cooked bacon from within the bank interface.
You know, for when you eat bacon.
I don't know. I don't know who eats bacon. I mean, it did come in from that one quest. And
it was a fun quest.
It really was.
That was quintessential RuneScape right there.
Took the words right out of my mouth. The click areas for the world map exit button have been adjusted. Hovering over favorite items in the currency pouch, it will now show a tooltip with the amount of currency on them. Equipping the Slayer helmet from the bank now has wear in the options. And when the Wilderness Sword 4 is equipped, the right-click teleport option to the warband camp will now appear. Previously, you had to unequip it first. And you know what's funny about this one is I always just put the Wilderness Sword 4 on, you know, once when I'm doing the farming run. And I, because of this, I had no idea you could teleport with it directly to warbands unless you go in the interface.
Oh yeah, that's what I always did for the farm patch.
Yeah, the blasphemy of warbands. Okay, for farming. mobile changes, improved pinpoint accuracy of the markers on the world map. Longer names for items on tooltips are now being spread out across two lines instead of just one. And player examine info now takes into consideration mobile notches and safe areas, of course, referring to modern phones like the iPhone X series. Skilling. Monsters killed in Turiel's or Spyra's Special Slayer assignment without initially tagging them, such as via Corruption Shot or Blast, will now count toward task completion. Turtles now count towards Hunter Daily Challenges. Going back to some favorite content from last year, aren't we?
Favorite content, what?
Yeah, the Hunter Rebalance.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's your favorite content.
I mean, it got people interacting with Hunter for weeks after it came out, so.
No, weeks before it came out.
Okay, that too.
That's when it...
Are people still salty about that?
I really don't know. Probably not. I mean, you got to deal with it, right? But it sucks. Yeah.
You can also no longer complete the farming daily challenge by gathering from an ill animal. And disassembling recolored ranger boots now correctly award fortunate components.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those are from level 2 clues. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, that would suck if you...
And they're double the value of, you know, the standard tier 3 and 4 fortunate component items. So, I mean, I don't know who would do that, but that's an expensive disassemble.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
You know, before EOC, those boots were well north of 25 mil.
What?
Yeah, Ranger boots before EOC were the best ranged foot item in the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of history there for our listeners. Now, as we head on into the last third of patch notes, using a world event token will no longer teleport players inside a rock during the bonfire festival.
Oh, no.
Yeah, world event one token. Those tokens that you have sitting in your inventory from 2013, still usable. Players who had skilling items left over from the Windtumber Warmer event will no longer be able to use them and continue to claim the XP. Once they're used up, the XP gain will stop. Crystal Geodes now have a chance to give Crystal Triskelion fragments both before and after completing the Roving Elves quest.
Okay.
I wonder where this broke. Because, you know, you can get... You used to be able to get Crystal Triskelion fragments from these geodes, and that was a fun thing that I did. I'd be interested to know when that one broke. Because I did do some crystal wood cutting over the break. So,
I'm
wondering if I missed out.
Maybe.
The Rainbow Aura and Gaze token can now be searched or bought on the GE. Users will now receive an alert when trying to edit ribbons in combat. Yeah, you probably don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
Players no longer disconnect from the game when releasing skill chompas from the worn equipment tab in the bank interface.
Oh, okay, that's not a good one.
So what basically happened with this is that if you had a skill chompa and you were had it equipped and you went to your bank and used the release context menu, you'd crash.
Yeah, that's not a good one.
You could no longer surge or escape while wearing a Gobi mask. Now here's one that if I was still doing Slayer, I would be all over right now because this one is huge. The Charming Imp will now collect or gather all variations of Spirit Gem when they're dropped as loot.
What?
Yeah, you know the Spirit Gems? Those little items that help you conserve summoning goods?
Yeah.
Previously, one of the things that really annoyed me with Slayer is that you would get trolled by this because you get a rare item loot beam for this.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if the imp is just gathering them, that's going to help a lot. So.
Yeah, I rarely picked them up. Unless they were. I mean, unless they were ruby or higher.
Okay.
I didn't.
Because, you know, you can craft the smaller ones into better ones, right?
Yeah, it's just when you're doing Slayer, a lot of times you don't have a ton of inventory space because you're already trying to note everything, it seems like, or I don't know, just inventory management.
Yeah,
I guess.
that's actually you know, you're getting onto something here. That's actually a very key point here, that when doing Slayer, inventory management is something that is annoying, and that's one of the reasons why I don't want to do Slayer.
Well, it's going to be a little more annoying because now your imp's going to continue to fill up your inventory.
Yeah.
Because they don't stack. Like, it'd be one thing if they stacked, but they don't.
I thought they did stack. I thought the ones in the same color stacked. Yeah.
When you pick them up, even?
That's a good question. It's like I know... I know you have to activate them, so there'd be no reason why they shouldn't stack.
Okay.
Let's see. Spirit Sapphire.
Well, that would be better. That will help.
Oh, yeah. No, they aren't stackable.
Okay. That's what I thought, but okay. Good. Yep.
So then the question becomes, do you actually want this to happen?
I wouldn't. Okay. I mean,
I guess the other option is maybe you could have the imp destroy them for a bit of XP like you do with the charms.
Yeah, that would be my guess. I mean, I don't know. Look, if I had the space, it would be fine because you could keep consolidating them as he picked them up.
And chances are we will be getting 120 summoning someday.
Yeah. I just hope I need to touch that off before they do something with that.
Yeah. All right. Now here's one that goes back to, I think, the treasure hunter exploit that we talked about last week. The Oddman store will now have enchanted notepaper instead of magic notepaper. And of course, magic notepaper is the one you could sell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that this might have also played into what was happening last week.
People were
buying notepaper,
cashing in their rare tokens.
Yeah, for oddments and then selling the notepaper for money.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Also, adjusted clan member anniversary messaging to better account for calendar months and years, as well as adding a new one-month anniversary message for anybody who's been in a clan. And at this point, I'll just remind people that if you're looking for a good clan and you enjoy questing, Clan Quest is a good place to be. Guest at our chat, Clan Quest in-game. Look forward to seeing you there. For the Rainbow's End promotion, they fixed an issue with Rainbow's End that prevented people from claiming a 1x multiplier unlock if they already had a 7x multiplier unlocked. All right, that's a bit odd.
Don't touch it! I know! Don't touch it!
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with that, right?
Mm-mm.
So, next up, players who were supposed to receive the Twitch Prime cosmetic outfit will now correctly receive this on login.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And there's the patch note of the patch notes for the week, everyone. All right. Let's,
do you feel fulfilled?
I was until we discovered that these weren't stackable for some reason. In my head, I thought spirit sapphires were stackable and whatnot until they were used.
Oh, I've totally rained on Shane's parade.
As I thought that was going to be a great patch note, but
no, dude, don't bury the lead. The great patch note was we have colorblind filter in the game for. Well, you know,
just have colorblind accessible knots.
Yes, accessible knots. Yeah, like that's
a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
like, that's a really big one.
Yeah. All right, moving on. There is a live stream this week covering War's Retreat, otherwise known as the PVM Hub. But this live stream began with a bit of a discussion about last week's treasure hunter bug. An update was provided by Mod Porky, where she said that 75% of the injected wealth has been retrieved, and the number of bans has been doubled from 15 to 30, as well as they've removed the XP and bonus XP that people used for the bug. Or that they got on the bug. And I mean, we talked about all that last week, so just check the nibble if you want more on that, but I think we can talk about the PVM Hub now, because this is shaping up to be January's headlining update. It is set to launch on January 27th.
Yeah. Boy, I got some stuff on this.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Well, I'll just start running through what was said, and you can jump in when it's appropriate, all right?
All right.
You're going to be able to access it through a doorway by Death's Hour's glass, and you can also access it from within Death's office should you die and want to go back there. Upgrades to the PVM Hub will be unlocked by generic boss kills. Any boss in the game, whether it be, of course, Telos or the Queen Black Dragon, all of them will count. There's a teleport you can also unlock, and with that, it will appear in your spellbook. It'll be one of those teleports that you have infinite uses of, just like the Manor Farm and whatnot, so that's fun. There's also going to be a number of other little upgrades that you can purchase along with this, including the Altar of War, which is an altar that restores prayer and summoning points, the Adrenaline Crystal, which charges up your adrenaline. Then there's a series of bonfires ranging all the way from Oak to Elder that you need to pay for with logs only once, and then various number of boss skills. And there's also another currency called Marks of War. And in general, the idea of this is that you're going to get about, I think I might have typed this. I think it's actually 100 Marks of War an hour. Let me just double check this to make sure we got the right numbers on this. But suffice to say, whenever you're fighting a boss, you're going to be earning this currency called Marks of War. And then you're going to be using that in order to unlock other pieces of the PVM hub, and it's 1,000 per hour. I did indeed get that right. I thought I typoed it, but 1,000 marks per hour, and this will just be whenever you're killing bosses. And for anybody wondering, things like the Death Touch Dart, those don't count. And in case you're wondering what you're going to be able to unlock with this, these include, of course, the bonfires. Whereas the Adrenaline Crystal and Altar of War is with boss kills. But, and here is something that might be controversial, and we'll discuss this. I don't know if it will be with the players. But the Vampirism Aura, the Dark Magic Aura, the Berserker, Reckless, and Maniacal Auras will all be unlocked for Marks of War. Vampirism starting at 5,000, Dark Magic 12.5, Berserker 25, Reckless 25k, Maniacal 25k. And these are also going to be disappearing from the loyalty shop the Sunday before the update.
So get those auras now with loyalty points
if you're not a PVMer.
If you're not a PVMer. Well, even if you are, it's going to be 5 hours, man.
25 hours for some.
Yeah, and you know, like, the only one that I really got issues with is, although Vampirism is a combat aura, it's not used in
high-end
elite, high-end, yeah. And Vampirism is used on Slayer,
so you don't need to eat.
Yes. So you don't get Marks of War when you're doing Slayer. Like, so that's kind of a bummer. Most people probably have it, but if you don't, get it now.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be harder to get.
Also, Dark Magic, Berserker, and Reckless. And Maniacal. Yeah, I think Maniacal is one that they absolutely love.
Yeah, I think so.
Dark Magic Aura as well is an interesting one. So, I don't know. Is this one of the points of contention that you felt?
Oh, well, I'm not going to say, like, contention or anything. Just, I have some points of discussion, I guess.
All right.
Because with everything that you just read off there, you got Adrenaline, you got Bonfires, you got Summoning and Prayer.
Yeah.
You have absolutely everything you could possibly want or need, and portals to every boss, right?
And Reaper,
right? So you have everything.
And a featured one, if they were doing a seasonal high score, a new boss comes out.
Right. So, now, in my opinion, that's perfectly fine. Perfectly acceptable. I'm happy for the PVM crowd out there. But this is what it made me think about, right? How many times have you heard players, developers, just all kinds of people, do you hear, we that was good content, but we made it too good. We made it too good. Proof is awesome, but you know, it might be too good. You know, the Max Guild it's really cool, guys, but you know, it's just a little too good.
We're gonna be talking
good.
About that next.
Well, you want to bet we won't be talking about that with the PVM hub. Even though it's the best of everything.
You think it's...
What do you want to bet we will not have the same discussion about the PVM hub?
Okay.
It won't happen.
Yeah, and there's also a dummy area that's just set up like Lumbridge. I realize that the way that sounds when I say that.
Yeah, but you see what I mean? Like this is fine to me, like, I actually think that's good for
that
to have
these
convenience.
Previously, that you couldn't get elsewhere in game.
Dude, there was nothing in a lot of the stuff that I just mentioned that you couldn't have gotten previously.
Yeah.
But people still say that. I mean, we've heard
and you know,
we've heard players say that. We've heard devs say that. I mean,
and this started as that Epic Jam project. It was initially aimed as a way of learning about PBM and for organizing. Right.
But don't you think, like, if they were serious about saying, like, we learned these lessons, don't make things too good, because even though we love it and the players love it, we think it's too good. They just went and did it again.
You think?
Where would you... When you log in, would you ever have to leave there if you were a PVMer?
Yeah, but there's no Grand Exchange.
What do you need that for?
Stock up on potions and food.
Maybe. But that's like one thing. Everything else is there. Like, everything.
And there's
like
not
I said,
be...
in my book, that's totally fine. Like, right. I think that's good, but...
But let's also compare this to the Max Guild, on the other hand.
Right.
Max Guild doesn't have a prayer altar, but it has everything else. It does?
Yeah, it's got a prayer altar.
Really?
Yeah, at the top shelf.
Oh, really? I touched that once and I got shocked.
Well, yeah. Well, before you had to right-click on it, or it would... It would either shock you or it'd turn you into an animal. You'd have to right click on it, but now it's a single click.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Max Guild does have all that. Like, it's got a lot of stuff. It's got, you know, which I think is good. but I've heard people say, well, Max Guild has too much convenience. Like, we pack
too much convenience
into here. There you go. See? See?
Yeah. And presumably there's not going to be a cost to this aside from, you know, the unlock cost, which we already talked about as boss kills that people are already going to have to unlock things like the altar and the adrenaline crystal because they're global and they're going to go off of the boss kills that are stored on your character. And you don't only need 1310 to unlock everything. And show me a PVMer out there who doesn't have 1310 boss skills.
Oh yeah, I mean, dude, I probably have. Well, I know I have more than that.
Exactly.
Easily. You know, I mean, that's me. So like I said, don't get me wrong. I love the design of this. I think it's really good.
Yeah,
and I'm not even
a
bosser. I like it. It's just that. I don't think you will hear the same.
We made it too powerful.
I don't think you'll hear that with this.
And you know, go ahead, finish your thought.
I'm good.
Okay, one other thing that you can see from this is that it looks as though that there is room for expansion. There are paths leading off that aren't finished yet, so there is room for this to be expanded in the future. As we initially saw, because the area showcasing off your pets didn't make it into live or close to launch here, from the looks of it.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
And, I mean, I guess from what you've just said, the question I have is, should there have been a cost associated with this, aside from the marks and the kills?
There's a cost.
Because you're getting the same thing as the Max Guild, and it's only requires 60 combat to access.
Yeah.
So, it's also accessible
minus
to free to play.
Counter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. You tell me, but I guarantee we won't hear the same criticism. I don't think.
And, you know, the whole idea and why this gained traction is because the Epic Jam happened after RuneFest when we knew archaeology was coming. And, oh no, we can't be without our poor Max Guild.
Yes, that's exactly, yeah. Well, no, we can't be without our boss portal.
But the boss portal is actually staying at the Max Guild with this.
I mean, that's... Cool, I guess.
If you want to use the Max Guild, you can. But there's two extra portals here that you don't need to pay to attune.
Well, and there's not going to be any... I mean, Maxfield, yes, it has a bonfire. It doesn't have a adrenaline crystal.
No.
And those bonfires are permanent. You don't need to
make. Yeah. Yeah, right. They are.
I mean, they're, you know, like...
Are you feeling the same way I am, that there should be some kind of extra cost associated with this? Because it feels like we're getting more than the Max Guild has here for PvE.
Yeah, it's better. I mean, it's better than Max for in a Oh, it's way better than Max on in a PvM.
Right. And, you know, I think what we see on the other hand here, it's our next bullet point, I believe. Mod Raven has a post out asking for suggestions to improve the Max Guild. So I think this also goes back to what we saw talked about at RuneFest, where they don't want to put a piece of content out that feels as though it's useless. So as a result of, rather than breaking something down, the Max Guild has to come up after this.
Well, it has to come up because they've taken so much away from it. Like, no matter how you feel about having it tied, having the bossing tied in, like, for me, I feel like Max is the beginning of endgame when you really start to get into bossing. But that aside, that is no longer relevant at the Max Guild, right? Because you have better bonfires there, you have adrenaline crystals, and you have portals. So there's no reason to deal with Max Guild to do your PVM. You no longer have to go to a challenge master, which... Everyone that was Max always has dropped in the Max Guild to turn in their challenge. You don't have to do that anymore. So now we're left with what? A GE and a decanter?
And a skilling portal.
I mean, those are outside. Like, you don't have to be
Max. Well, I consider the entire thing the Max Guild, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just like, there's not...
Yeah.
You know, sometimes what used to be very prestigious, like literally.
And see, this is the new way of doing things then. Don't bring things down, bring everything up.
And, right, and that's, yes,
and
this will be
when
better.
When you do that, like you said, no one's going to be having that conversation, oh, is this too good? Because this is exactly what everybody in the PVM community wants, I assume. Mm-hmm. So... All right. We should probably start talking about the Max Guild then. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about on War's Retreat, which is the actual name of it. No incoming comp cape requirements, free-to-play access. Oh, and you can also buy consumables that are aura refreshes and life refreshes with Marks of War.
Yeah, dude, it's like a... Yeah.
It's like PVM a candy store. Dream, PVM candy store. The PVM candy store, you know?
Yeah, we need... I can't wait to hear what David has on this.
Yeah, I imagine he'll be on the show for this. But, I mean, at this point, do we even need him for that episode? Because, I mean, it's you and me.
Well, yeah.
And if we're saying that this thing is already good enough for PVM, what the hell is he going to say, right? I mean, we'll probably get him anyways because it's first update of the year, but... PVM update, headlining update of the year, rather. So, all right. Max Guild improvements. Let's go. This was posted by Mod Raven, and he was wondering what exactly should be done for the Max Guild because, well, PVM Hub is going to be able to do most of that. So, he says some of what made the Max Guild desirable has been taken away. We still want the Max Guild to be desirable and a worthy late game goal. So I wanted to take this opportunity to start gathering your thoughts and suggestions on what could go there. One suggestion per post, keep it real. So that means no massive things like new elite dungeons or a max skill. And consider things that are missing, like maybe an invention workshop. Do we really need that at the Max Guild?
Not a bad idea.
I mean,
put a basement in there.
You
wouldn't have to run to get to your machines and stuff. I mean, we got to replace it with something.
Well, you can't put the machines in there because that would be the Invention Guild. It would just be probably like an invention workbench.
Okay, well that's close enough. I mean, you can make your divine your empty charges.
Yeah.
Which would be, and you could infuse your armor and stuff. So there you go. for the few rare times when their armor degrades, they have to run to a GE and then walk over to the invention table. Perk it up.
Only use this thread for suggestions on this topic. It's not a time to post bugs, he says, or ask about how a piece of content works. And he says, try to avoid devaluing existing content. Try to avoid making the Max Guild a requirement to be a functional RS player. It should be fun and enticing, and it should not be vital.
You think it's so easy. You try it. Here. You try not to devalue other stuff. Let's see what you got. Come on.
Consider skilling over PVM, since most Max Guild members are inherently skillers. Graphics are at a premium with content such as archaeology, which means that suggestions that need new graphics are less likely to be implemented. It should also be future-proof. Things like achievement markers are problematic, and we're constantly adding in new achievements.
You know what? We should have a... you could either move it, or if you don't want to move it, just put in a new one. We should have a house portal, at least in the garden.
Okay, now you touch on my other problem.
Getting around?
No. Where is the Max Guild?
It's in Prif.
Right, and what does Prif represent? It represents 8 different districts focusing on 16 different skills. 8 elven clans focusing on 16 different skills.
But Max was always there.
Right. But
I mean, it was there with the design. You know.
Right. But we have divination, summoning, ranged, magic, farming, woodcutting, agility, prayer, combat, construction, crafting, dungeoneering, herblore, mining, and smithing, represented by the elven clans. Now, my question is, how do you put something from any one of these skills in the Max Guild? Because I had the same idea as you. What if we put in a player-owned house portal? Oh, that's already there. What if we put in a summoning recharge thing? Oh, that's already in, Amlod.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, my problem is that, you know, we're soon to have, you know, 28 skills in game, and 16 of them are already represented. So that really only leaves us 12 or so to work with.
And take the combat ones out.
Yeah. Right? So now you're seeing my problem of starting to think about this, because personally, I don't like the Max Guild. I don't like the idea that it fosters. Granted, yes, we are in a spot where we're heading towards endgame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with that, how do you put something in the Max Guild that has an elven clan dedicated to it?
Well, but do you have to? I mean, we got waterfall fishing.
Right.
You don't have to.
I'm just saying that having Prif next door dedicated to all these makes it a lot harder to put something in from, say, farming.
Well, yes.
So
I would say, yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, the other idea is to just add in, you know, the dungeoneering and clan portals and port portals that are in the Tower of Voices, but then you're kind of devaluing that too.
Well, you know what you could do?
Hmm.
You could make a kind of a permanent portable area. It's like a portable, instead of a, like a portable range running out, it'd be like a permanent one that
and
you
then
can
you
use
just
that
charge
would have
it?
The benefits. Well, I mean, I guess you could, but I'm saying you wouldn't even have to. I'm saying you'd get the benefits of a portable, but it would actually be a fixed range in the Max Guild.
Would there
you
be
could
any
do that with
sides?
Some of the other. No, you just have to make it be able to get your ass to the Max Guild, which is easy.
Hmm.
And right. If you weren't Max, then you'd have to use a portable world.
Right.
Because that would be different than the client. Like, that would be something carved out that would be beneficial and not really the same things that are already present within the clients.
Yeah. I was thinking something like the Moss Shop, maybe, or the Traveling Merchant Shop, so to speak, except rather than having it be the items that are in the mall, just make it maybe a little bit more general, like a general store that's useful for skillers, so to speak. Because the goal of the Mother Lode Maw is to help people able to reach their comp and trim, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if there was just a general store that helps skillers?
I'd love it. You know, like somewhere that had raw materials, like in bulk.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. What kind of raw materials? Because I don't think you can put anything in there from the primary skills, right? See, and see, that's the first thing that comes into my mind is some kind of store. But the problem with that is that all the general stores in game right now are not very useful. And if you want to do something that is in relation to something a little bit more powerful, you have things like the Traveling Merchant.
I would definitely love to see the Traveling Merchant. I think you could do a store. You could have like feathers, runes, wood for
but not clones. Not too much.
Not too much.
It's hard, isn't it?
That's why that post is so good.
You guys think you have an idea? Go for it.
Here's what we have to think about. So, yeah.
I mean, all we're hearing right now are crickets.
Well, I mean, I am sure there are a lot of good ideas out there that they will get.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be a matter of just sifting through, I think, what is OP and what isn't good enough.
Another idea I had was a store that would allow you once a week or every 2 weeks to buy a number of fragments for one of your elite outfits you're working on.
Okay.
But I don't know if that would be too exclusive either.
I mean, I don't mind things that are exclusive being behind the max guild. It's a hell of a barrier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's okay because we're talking about a pretty hefty goal.
Yeah, and I had an idea that I was going to say on this one until I saw that graphics were a limitation on this.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. I was going to suggest that in addition to what it has right now, maybe add the invention bench, workbench, and a potion decanter in there, but in addition to that, make it so that the max guild is the place that you go to trim your master skill cape for a skill whenever you reach 200 mil. You add another trim onto it.
And that'd be cool.
You get 200 mil in a skill, boom, mm-hmm. A trim section opens up in the interface where you can add on a trim to your master cape for that skill. Then it starts another counter for another 200 mil. Adds another trim.
See, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
But I shied away from doing this and mentioning it because graphics.
But it solves. But it solves.
It solves my problem.
More than a max killed. It solves is, the 200 mil problem.
Right. And I had another idea to go with this too that kind of went away with the new graphics. And I didn't mention this at the start because I wanted to see how hard it would be to come up with something else. But these were the first two ideas I came up with. The second idea is that in addition to the garden, you have some kind of crystal plane that opens up out the back. And in there, you're able to see and you're able to invite players in. And it will show off your skilling pets. It will show off all the master capes that you got. And should they ever go down the path of adding those meta achievement capes we talked about last year, it would show those off too. But once again, graphics heavy.
Awesome.
Graphics heavy.
Yeah. I like those ideas, though.
Now, the question is, can you do the one that acts in, as an XP counter without graphics?
I mean, you wouldn't need much in the way of graphics, right?
I mean...
Like, I mean, I don't know.
What if we just did this as simple as possible and changed the color of the particle effects on the master capes?
I kind of like the... I like the trim so that you could count a tree, you know, count the rings, kind of thing. Yeah. 200, 4, 6, 8, you know.
It's like the Overwatch level up progression medals. Have you ever seen those?
Uh-uh.
All right. I'm just going to Google what these quickly look like and then I'll describe them to it. But basically what happens is it starts out really simple and they start off from bronze. Then they work up to silver, then they work up to gold, then they work up to a platinum thing, then they get more adornments on them. So,
okay, yeah.
So that what effectively happens is that as you level up numerous times, you have a different way that your name is presented, so much so that, you know, if you were level 1790, you would have something that looks totally astute to somebody that is just, you know, level 90, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they add extra stars below them and all that kind of thing to it. And, you know, it's just a simple little badge. But, again, the problem comes into how do you represent this, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you represent this in RS? So.
Well, the trim's a good, I mean, I think that's
a viable idea. I say this, I just don't know how it works technically, right? Because, you know, I was thinking about this. Can somebody who is 200 mil use an urn?
I don't have any idea, man.
Because if you were 200 mil in a skill and you were using an urn, there would presumably be a countdown on that urn that would do something when you reach that skill cap. So... if that technology could then be used so that after you get that amount of skill and just have it be as kind of like a transparent thing on your player, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect.
Now the question is just how do you represent it graphically?
Well, you know how I think you should.
How?
A ruler.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Anything else on the Max Guild that we could like to see added?
There's much more in the weeks to come, I think. But I can't.
Yeah, this is one of those things that you definitely need to think about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right. We're going to move on. And, you know, rather than, you know, discussing we got a long way to go to get to that. I was getting ahead of myself. We got a big news story to talk about first.
Slow it down, Shane. Yeah, slow it down.
Yeah. Anyways, RuneScape had its best year in 2019 for membership.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, apparently.
What?
1.1 million subscribers.
Damn. That's good, right?
Yeah, that's very good. That's the best ever. They said, quote, many millions more play the free-to-play version. And, you know, they say that this was due in part to 2019 being the first full year that old school RuneScape was available on both PC and mobile. And the old school RuneScape version had 8 million installs in 2019.
Kind of makes you wonder how many of those 1.1 million.
How many of those are us on RS3, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've long said that what happens is that this is general revenue, old school or RS3, and everybody benefits at the end of the day for this. So, but 1.1 million subscribers, and, you know, there are so many people out there who say, oh, the game is dying, right? But we know that's absolutely not happening with this.
Well, yeah, that's absolute garbage at this point.
And, you know, I think 2020 still looks pretty good. It's just a matter of getting it going. And we talked about the archaeology delays before Christmas and whatnot. But, 1.1 million subscribers in 2019. Huge, huge number. And you remember back to our decade in review? We really talked about 18 and 19, and we said we felt like it was just getting started. And you can obviously see here that, there is actually something happening. Perhaps another one of those RuneScape golden ages, which I think might just be around the corner. So,
well, it seems like it's kind of like the train, you know, it's slowly starting and kind of picking up speed. And I feel like once this year really kicks in,
and when people realize what's happening,
moving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's just going to be a lot of inertia. I really think like we're going to have a good year for content, but it's going to be spaced properly.
Yeah. And that's what I want to actually talk about next. And it's one of our Informer articles for the month by Sirion, informer.rsvme.com, to read this. And, you know, he starts it off being brutally honest, saying that it's been about 2 months since 120 Farming and 120 Herblore came out. And it's content that he engages with every day when he logs into RS. And he's not going for 120 or because he wants to make monies. And he's not doing it because he's efficient. He's just doing it because it's fun to him. And he says, before you think that Shane has officially brainwashed me, I don't think farming is suddenly the best skill out there. and it's not about 120 Farming and 120 Herblore that he mentions here, but it becomes a question. Is that, do you really need week-to-week content updates? And I think this is something that many players are going to learn about in 2020, because as much as people would like to, I don't think we're going back to week content releases.
I don't think we can in RS3. I think it's still possible maybe in old school. If they weren't doing the kind of updates that they had been doing, you know, because they have been adding like big updates. But if you wanted to go back to the smaller ones, I don't know if that's going to be possible in RS3. But it's something that if people, if they come out and officially say that, people will be grabbing pitchforks and, you know, just raising all kinds of hell over it. But in all reality, we don't need, it's not that you need that. What you want, it's value for your money. And as long as you're getting that value and it is spaced in a way that keeps you engaged, then I don't think week to week is necessary. I never did. Like I didn't think that when it came to the expansions, but that just went
kind of awry, because instead of like week to week, I mean, we weren't getting things like month to month. Yeah. So that, you know, that was a little bit different situation, but.
And he says the new update strategy of releasing updates that are just nice to play without necessarily focusing on keep busy mechanics favors these players, that is the casual players, and it makes lots of sense since it's near impossible to keep players that will keep running out of content happy. You know, if you are somebody who completes the content within a few days of launch, great. But there's many other people out there who don't play at that level of engagement. And as we're seeing right here, with 120 farming and 120 herblore, this update is still giving. It's the gift that keeps giving. So, I initially thought we would be going back to, you know, a week-to-week kind of release schedule. But, I mean, if the updates are so wholesome that they can keep someone engaged for a good amount of time, then yeah, I mean, you don't need that. And you can just effectively have updates that keep players working. And we saw this also with the mining and smithing rework too, if you guys go back to it.
Yeah, well, and I think with the way things have been restructured, there is a much better chance of getting a regularity to the kind of cadence of updates that we're going to see in the future. Like, I feel like you're going to see something from one team, and then maybe the next month you'll see it from the other, and there's going to be this rotation
kind of between the teams. Yeah, that's supposed to start February-ish.
Yeah. And I mean, that's something different, right? We haven't seen that before, so that may be what the missing part was before. You know, I have every reason to think that it would be that it's going to be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, with this, he called it the big summer update drought of 2019, and he says if you look back at the rest of 2019, most months only had at least one major update in them, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, and that would be, like I said, that would be fine if we don't have periods of 2 and 3 months where
there's a gap.
There's a gap, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look back at the schedule, Archaeology was supposed to come out this month. It's been delayed for QA reasons and whatnot. But had Archaeology come out, you'd be getting this and the PVM hub this month.
Yeah.
Which would have been a huge month by modern RS3 standards.
Yeah, it would have been huge. Well, and I mean, but there just has to be like a realization that this is, you know, last week we talked about 19th birthday, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same game it was 10 years ago.
Right.
Like, you could do these little updates weekly, you know, when you're putting out, I don't know, what, a new random event? Or yeah, exactly. But it's not the same with the era that we're in RS3. You know, with what you have coined is RS3, that's not doable in a week. You can't do it.
And another thing he notes is that most of the updates that have come out in 2019 are indeed suited towards the casual player, whether it be the ranch or the mining and smithing with folding bars. Because, I mean, sure, you don't need to spend, you know, a 4 or 5 hour game session doing it. You can log in for half an hour a day and fold bars, and you're going to get it done. And you can still feel like you're making progress.
Well, here's the thing. People have, and gamers have also changed, right?
Yeah.
Mobile? You know, mobile, but people are less into grindy things than they used to be. Like, that was acceptable at one point, but now people don't want to grind like that forever. They'd much rather just play something fun.
Yeah. And if they're not If they're not going to play your game, if it's too grindy, they're going to close it and do something else.
Yeah, because you're not having
that's
fun.
The world we live in. You can get $1 of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate that gives you a huge library of games on your Xbox or now your PC for $1. Microsoft wants to hook you in with that. You can't be bored with that.
No.
And you could go play, dare I say it, Fortnite.
Well, there's nothing wrong with catering to a casual player base.
Not at all. Because
you're always going to have your higher end. You're always going to have your high end elite. Like, look at Fortnite. Fortnite's a great example. The simplest freaking game you can imagine, right? But people play it over and over and over and over.
Because it's different every time, and it's fun.
But it's, well, and it's fun. You can get in, you can play a game.
I'd still be playing it if Epic wasn't owned by the Chinese.
Yeah, it's, like, you can't overlook that. Like, and, you don't have to grind. You know what I mean? Like, you might play for 5 hours, but you didn't feel like you had to. Like, you literally played every single time just for fun. So, I don't think that's a bad thing for RuneScape. I think it's an adaptation that we need to
rut of RuneScape players, and I say this in the most endearing way, who are stuck in the old traditional ways of imagining how a game needs to be. When, if you really take a step back and you look at this article, you look at 2019, and you look at some of the things that are being telegraphed for 2020, you can see that the entire launch schedule for this game has changed. And it even comes down to the PVM hub that we were just talking about. Because, I mean, I remember a world, you know, maybe even 2 years ago, where you would get something like the PVM hub, but there would be an immense cost associated with it, with unlocking it. It's one of the most easy updates, as was shown this week, to get into. And I think that's the world we're in. And I think Jagex realized that at RuneFest when they said, no, we can't have an update now that comes out and feels useless.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think some of the, you know, I mean, some players we're talking could have been playing 15, 16, 18 years, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And I feel like there's a certain amount of those players that they don't play anything else. They've never played anything else.
Right.
They play
RuneScape is the core.
So they don't know how, you know, they don't have the same frame of reference that someone that plays a lot of games would have. And I think that makes it easier. Like, that makes it easier for me to understand these kinds of changes because I see them everywhere. And I feel like we have to make them to stay relevant. You know, cause this is a cutthroat space and I mean, you gotta stay relevant. I just don't think you could have a game that is grindy as we used to be back in like early RS2 days. Right now, I don't think anyone would play it.
And I'm going to say something on this, and this is a philosophical thing that you've just alluded to. A few of the skills out there that are still like that in terms of slow XP, one of them is woodcutting, the other one's fishing. Well, not fishing, you do have a choice for that, but woodcutting feels so slow compared to the other gathering skills.
Yeah, woodcutting definitely needs help. I would love to see a face forward.
Because technique. I want to get 120 woodcutting, but I am bored out of my mind doing it.
Yeah, no, woodcutting needs like what the deep sea fishing has with the fish flingers or with
safe
what
cracking.
Hunter used to have or safe cracking. Yeah, it needs one of those kind of
like we're not talking
engagement mechanics.
Yes, active engagement. We're not talking sky high XP rates, just active engagement if you want to. Or something a little bit more lucrative, because as we know, magic logs are still dropped by Telos, right? And the only logs worth cutting are Elder.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're getting off the track of the original idea here behind the post, but I just wanted to bring it home to people by tying it all up and saying that because there's no update doesn't mean that we're in, you know, kind of like a rut or a depression. If you step back and you look at it the way Sirion did, and will become clear once you read this article, there's still lots of content to engage with from 2019 that you might not have already done so had you not been as active as you are.
Right.
And, you know, the way it be in these games, I just said the way it be, but the way it is, you need to design for where the bulk of your player base is at.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I feel a lot better about 2020. And I mean, I was already very pleased with what I think is on the way for 2020. But looking at it this way and applying that lens to it, that's an evolution that needed to happen. And it just adds that extra little cherry on top. So,
yeah, I still feel good about 2020. Now, had archaeology went the way we would have thought, then we would have started with a real high, kind of, you know.
It was supposed to be coming out this coming Monday, I believe.
Right, and so, like, but you would have had that, like, these first 2 weeks would have been anticipation, you know what I mean? Like, we would have been
building, lore blogs, you know, and whatnot.
Right. And instead, I mean, I think for some people it probably feels like we're kind of limping into the new year, but I really think you just have to start the cadence has to get started. Once it's starting, it's like a train that's going to keep rolling. And something else that I think is important with all this, something that we saw during the summer, when we would see weeks that didn't have, you know, much in the way of updates, you also were seeing bugs or glitches or some controversy with Treasure Hunter. You know what I mean? So, like, even on those weeks, you had some, like, on the weeks that nothing was happening, something bad happened. You know, and that doesn't help. And we're not seeing that now, which is good.
All right. I don't have anything else left to say on that, and I'd be interested to know where you guys, the listeners, are on this, if you agree with this statement. Because, I mean, this is something, a way I see the game going, and it just signifies to me that we are in a new modern era. So let us know. Let us know if you agree with this, because if you guys do, that'd be interesting to hear. And if not, it'd be interesting to hear why you disagree with that. So, all right, let's move on then. We're going to move on to tech news, but before we do that, I'll just talk about our wonderful Patreon supporters. We do have a good number of you guys to thank this week, so thank you once again to Brock H., Cameron, Cass, Christian S., Darren L., Diana, Jason S., Joe M., and John P., a new arrival. Welcome aboard. Kyle, Rastafa, Rippeth, Seth W., The Naked Captain, Tom V., and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us, and we're very interested to see what 2020 has in store. And if you're wondering what all this is about, you can check it out at patreon.com/rsbnb, and there you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. You'll get a mention in our show notes and early access to them, and you, of course, help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. So that's starting up fresh again. We'll have our poll out for the monthly bit, the February monthly bits, this weekend at the round table. And that is happening on Saturday, if you guys hear this prior to then, at 2 p.m. Eastern, which I believe is 9 p.m. game time, but we'll double check. And there'll be a Patreon post for all that. That'll happen in our Discord. And of course, We also do inside RSVP update normally, but we're working on trying something else different, and we're going to get the feedback from the people at the roundtable this weekend at have a look at maybe doing something called the Variety Show, stepping out of the mold that we're on and into the wider RuneScape universe. So all of that and more can be found at patreon.com/rsbnb. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that if we get to the $99 a month tier, that'll be movie night in the RSBNB Discord, where, of course, we'll run through our favorite movies. So you can find all this and more at patreon.com/rsbnb. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Tech news. You know, 2020 is a year that we don't know what it's going to do for tech, but there's one thing that's clear based on what we talked about last week with Firefox and Brave, and that's that privacy is going to become even more important on the web than it is now. And this week, Google made an announcement that they're going to be taking a step that will make the Chrome browser more privacy-centric, let's just say, by making something called third-party cookies obsolete. So a cookie is something that a website can set, and you've probably seen agreements on websites that you go to saying, hey, we'd like to set cookies on your website. Do you agree and allow us to do that? Hit accept or decline if you don't. What a third-party cookie does is they're most often used for advertising is they allow, say, a website like an ad service, say Google Ads, to set a cookie, and then that cookie can be tracked on a number of various websites, and then they can use that to tailor ads specifically to you. Safari on macOS and iOS already ships with third-party cookies off, which effectively shuts down a good portion of the tracking out there. And what Google announced this week is a path towards completely removing third-party cookies from their web browser. And this goes back to August when they announced their new privacy sandbox, which they want to effectively build as an open set of standards to enforce privacy on the web. And it's interesting because Firefox is already there in some areas, Safari is there, and Chrome is taking their own stance on it. And the first thing after consulting with their community is that they said, hey, we can get rid of third-party cookies and still have an ad-supported web out there. And I need to just underscore that the vast majority of ad tracking, at least in the legacy way, was done with third-party cookies, and that's why Safari made headlines back in the day of having third-party cookies turned off, is because they were looking out for privacy in people's web browsers before Firefox, before Chrome, and before Microsoft Edge, which we'll get to in a minute. So with this, Chrome is throwing down the gauntlet now by way of Google and saying that, hey, users are demanding greater privacy and transparency, choice, control over their data, and the web ecosystem should evolve to meet these demands. And they're taking the stance of saying, well, some people just block third-party cookies, and this can have unintended side effects, but maybe we should just move away from them entirely. And they want to do this within the next year. So this is a huge deal from a company that initially built their profits on ads that, yes, did indeed use third-party cookies to track. So it signaled that, and I don't know what they plan to do with this, but it signaled that the Google Ads service will be able to perform as it has always did without third-party cookies. So, I mean, you got different privacy offerings out there now from all the different web browsers, and they said it's going to take a year to do this. You can already turn them off if you want to, but this is a big, big statement from Google for their browser. So,
cool. And I mean, I feel like saying this is great, but they probably wouldn't do this unless they could just
make up for themselves. Right, and they do definitely have another way to do that. Because, I mean, if they wouldn't be doing this if this was going to shoot the AdSense revenue in the foot. So
yeah, exactly.
They do. It just signifies that they're able to get their ads out and, for all intents and purposes, work around this. And they want to put this privacy sandbox out there because, you know, when you think about it, everything you type in that search bar is being sent to Google. So,
yeah.
And whether or not you want that, it's up to you. And if you don't want it, you can use a different web browser. So, we'll, of course, watch this and see if it actually happens, because we talked about Google announcing something last year. But as we mentioned last week, Firefox beat them to the punch with it. So, this is an announcement. We'll have to wait and see where it actually goes. All right. Also on the browser front, this is something you've been waiting for. Microsoft has released Edge on Windows and Mac OS, and it's not part of a Windows update, which I think they told us in November it wasn't going to be, but it's just a standalone download now from Microsoft. And the idea behind this is that they want there to be a first-class web browser that appears in new Windows installs, and they will roll this out to everyone by the summer. So if you want to get it now, you can just go to the download page to download this and, you know, try it out. And I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on this, if you want to give this a try, because I know one thing we've always talked about is that the Edge browser for you was the best for accessibility because it just integrated it to Windows so well.
Yeah, well, it can. Well, I don't have to use an add-on to do the contrast.
Right.
It's just seamless between like my desktop and web pages and stuff. But yeah, that's why I stick with that. Like, you probably notice, like, if sometimes my, like, I can't tell it looks white to me, but it's actually yellow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to work around some of that when we were doing show note stuff at the beginning, but we got it all sorted out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it works with extensions out of the box, including Adblock, Amazon Assistant, Ghostry, LastPass, to name a few other ones. And there's actually a whole extension library that's ready to go with this. Adblock Plus, 1Password as well. So go ahead.
Will this replace my, it'll replace the Edge that I am using currently?
That's a good question. That's a good question because, I mean, this is just going to install like a standard app, so I don't know if they can replace that because the other one is still integrated into Windows. I didn't install it because I don't really intend on using it, but it'd be a fun thing to see because they do want to bring it out to all Windows users this summer.
Well, check it out. I guess I can Google it and find it probably pretty easy.
Just go to Microsoft.com/Edge.
Okay.
Yeah, that does it. Microsoft.com/Edge. And let us know how it is. And, you know, it's also available for Mac OS, iOS, and Android. Not that, you know, you can change your default browser on iOS, but it's there.
Cool.
That's Microsoft Edge. All right. And, you know... Oh, that's the wrong link. Whoopsies. we're not doing the story about climate and global warming because that is not tech news, but that was the one that was inserted into the notes through a copy and paste error. We're lucky it wasn't anything else, was it? but the actual story that we were looking for is one about Spotify in particular. Spotify making playlists for your animals for when you're not home.
Well, that's what the world needed.
The idea is that you choose your pet. The choices are iguana, dog,
iguana,
cat,
iguana,
bird, or hamster.
Hamster.
And with that, it will bring out a list of playlists aimed to, quote, soothe lonely pets. And they did this because apparently 69% of pet owners sing to their pets.
What?
Yeah.
I guess I'm in the minority. I don't sing to my animals.
I know if you tried doing that, we would have a constant chorus going on in the background.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
But
that's crazy.
And with that, there's the survey also says that 71% of pet owners play music for their pets when they're not home.
Huh. I wonder what the hamster list is. You think it's just stuff you'd hear in a spin class or aerobics, just that heavy woosh, 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 because they're always on their wheels, just running.
Yeah, and the infographic on this even gets more absurd as you go down. Apparently 57% of pet owners dance with their pet.
Well, who hasn't grabbed their dog's paws and had them dance? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I guess that counts. Apparently the best genre is classical and soft rock.
Hmm. Okay. How do they know this?
They did a survey. Like a commission survey.
Were the pets filling it out?
No, the owners were.
I think this is a survey of...
It sounds like wasted money to me.
Yeah.
And here's what's more. Here's how it works. After you choose your pet, they want to know more about your pet. Is it relaxed or energetic, shy or friendly? And then it offers trait selections that go with that. Then it picks a playlist based on that.
Then you get an email for a coupon at PetSmart.
You probably could do that after that.
You probably do. I bet you will.
So, I mean, I don't have pets. And
no pets?
No. None? Allergic.
Not even a fish?
No. No. And, I mean, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, I guess the question I have with this is... Spotify has money to do this. Okay, good. This campaign. And if people are going to use it, I guess it'll stick around. And if not, then it proves it was a waste of money to conduct the survey and build out this news post and infographic. If you're at all interested in this, spotify.com/pets.
People are going to use it, though. I mean, we might think it's a waste, but I guarantee it'll be popular.
Yeah, I imagine it'll be most popular amongst kids or something. Maybe.
Yeah, kids. Yeah. Sure. Kids and cat ladies.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's move on to achievements of the week, then, in that case. Start us off.
All right. Let's see. We have some pretty good achievements this week, starting with the Black Mexican with 99 Herbler. That was on January 15th.
Woo!
Foire with... 99 Dungeoneering on January 15th. Frar again with 99 Runecrafting on January 15th. And he wasn't done. Frar with 99 Divination on January 15th. Then we have Lorosaurus with 99 Defense on January 15th. Lorosaurus with 99 Constitution on January 15th. And Lorosaurus with 99 Invention on January 15th. Then we have Kabaru with 120 Farming. Ooh, Shane.
That's David.
That was on January. Yep, that's David. So congrats. That was on January 14th. Let's see. And then we have R3PO with 99 Dungeoneering on January 13th.
Alrighty, continuing on for the last 3 days, on January 12th, we have Alex Peak with 99 Magic, Farr again with 99 Firemaking, and Lorosaurus with 99 Ranged. On January the 11th, we had Alex Peaks again with 99 Attack, Fishing, and Invention, as well as Doc Hawk with 99 Magic and Constitution, and then Dragon Kith with 99 Smithing, and... 11th was a big one. Robbie with 120 Prayer, Thyme with 120 Constitution. Then on the 10th, we had Doc Ock again with 99 construction, and Yahtzee on the 9th with 99 fire making. Nicely done, everyone. Nice achievements. And, you know, that roll that we went on at the start of the year just seems to keep going and going and going.
Yeah, man. People spend in work.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's pick of the week time. And, you know, sometimes some of my picks of the week aren't necessarily that useful to all you guys listening, and I apologize for that. But this one is one that you're going to want to have a look at if you are at all interested in seeing what the current build versions of Windows are. And you need to do this because sometimes if you're playing a game, it will say you need build XYZ.123 of Windows 10. And you might not be on that. So you can go to this website. It's called changewindows.org. And it will show you when all the various builds of Windows 10 were released. And if you look on January 14th, you see that build 18363.592 in the broad release category was released. And that was a generic Windows 10 patch that anybody who is on standard Windows 10, not necessarily the beta or the fast ring, would have gotten. And you can see what version of Windows you're on by typing winver in the run command. And, you know, the reason that this is here is because for the older releases in particular and some of the releases that involve development environments, and this is the main reason I was made aware of this website for Windows development stuff, is that it also includes patch notes. And sometimes you want to know what exactly changed with that, and this is the place to go to see what build versions were launched when, and in particular, if there were any patch notes associated with it. So you can find all this at changewindows.org, and they have a nice little widget on the side that shows all the different current releases and when they were released. They got it for PC, Xbox, for those of you guys who have an Xbox, Internet of Things like embedded Microsoft devices, Windows Server, the Windows HoloLens stuff as well, as then all the development side stuff. So you can see that at changewindows.org. They also got a milestone version for it to see exactly what the next versions of Windows 10 are going to be called. And the next version of Windows 10 is going to be called 2004 for 2020 April, which when you think about it, Windows 10 2004, that sounds
really weird.
That sounds really weird, right?
I'm so confused right now.
Yeah. So it's probably best not to look at that. But if you're interested in seeing when all the different Windows releases were, this is the website to do it. And like I said, there's probably maybe only one or two of you out there who are listening will find this at all useful. But it's something that I enjoyed looking at, you know, just to look up and see I'm on this. When did this come out? What ring do I need to be on if I want this new feature kind of thing? And when is that going to be arriving to me? And that's the main reason I use this website, changewindows.org. And like I said, probably not very useful to you, but interesting to look at for me. So that's the pick of the week. All right. What have you been up to?
Binging Star Trek and thieving.
I think I might have had a slight impact in that, eh?
Wait, well, you definitely made it easier and more cohesive. I've been trying to get ready for the new series coming out. Was it next week?
Yep, next Thursday, yep, the 23rd.
Yep, the card comes out. But while I've been doing that, I've been doing a lot of thieving, and I am about 2 mil away from 120. So
ooh.
We're getting there.
Any plans for after that?
I'm about another 10 away for strength, so I'll finish that off, gathering charms, and then I think I'm only about another about another 10 off of summoning, so I'll knock those two out afterwards.
And you're doing summoning because you want to get it done before it goes to 120.
Yep. I was going to wait for, like, I wanted to do it on a double XP weekend. And I just wanted to, like, just blow the doors off somebody in a competition. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to be the same now.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna grab the 120. We got to wonder what the double XP weekend probably in February is going to look like with their game blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows? So, yeah, maybe, you know what? That might be a good time. I might do it then. Who knows? Be about right timing.
All right. Well, as for me this week, I have been embroiled in a little gold rush around Toadflax for some reason. I don't know what exactly happened, but the prices of Toadflax shot up all the way to 15K, and it's on its way back down.
It's a green revolution, man.
Yeah, but why Toadflax of all herbs? I have no idea. It's been going up constantly since the new year, and lo and behold, it seems to have hit its peak now. But hey, I mean, free money with herb farming and whatnot along the way. Aside from that, just been doing some wood cutting, as I mentioned, crystal trees, elder trees, the ark, jumping around, trying to find something that's not too boring. And aside from that, just did some clue scrolls, and, you know, I can report that I did probably about 5 or 6 clue scrolls this week after that update. You know, I did some elites to get the knots, then I did some hards, and I only got one clue scroll where I didn't get an item that was worth 500-600K. So clue scrolls are still pretty good in terms of money making, especially if you just focus on the hard ones, because they give those items that use fortunate components, and it's always good if you have your Luck of the Dwarves equipped when you open them for that extra chance of a good item. And do not forget your Totem of Treasure on Anachronia. Shortens all clue scrolls by one step.
That's nice.
Yeah. Let me just see where that one comes from. I don't remember where that comes from on Anachronia. I know one of them is probably Agility on there. But the top piece is Big Game Hunter. Middle piece is Anachronia Agility, and the bottom one is from finding 20 ancient zygomites. So, there we have it. And, I mean, yeah, lots of fun money with that. I don't know. And, see, this is the what I also had in the back of the mind when we were talking about Sirion's article, is that, you know, yeah, Farming 120 and Herblore 120 came out. We're interacting with that. But at the same time, we also have the clues, and there's just so much to do in game. It's really interesting. So,
yeah.
I think we're in a good place. But that's all I have for this week. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it for this week.
Alrighty then. Well, if you guys want full show notes, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. You can also join our friends chat, Bits Bytes. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast on any number of podcast listeners out there, just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, and you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, YouTube, Google Play, practically anything under the sun. update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, and we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.